You're listening to the World's Robert Crichton podcast. New audio freshly delivered every week, direct from me, Robert Crichton. If you like this audio, consider becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/Robert Crichton to help support my work. And now, your podcast. You're listening to The Other Day, a story from The Other Day about me, Robert Crichton, and my day, The Other Day, as opposed to today. It was definitely another day, The Other Day, in fact, hence the title, The Other Day. That's what this is called. The Other Day. Yeah. The other day, I thought I'd attempt to stave off any discomforting feelings I have about the inevitable endpoint of my existence by reinforcing the illusion of the possibility of surviving eternity via the delusion of the happily ever after, and going through the rituals of mating with a view to the potential endpoint of sexual reproduction. Or, as most people would say, I went speed dating. Whilst this wasn't going to solve my innate fear of eventual non-existence, I was reassured that it might be pleasant, in the sense that I could at least get drunk. Speed dating in the run-up to St. Valentine's Day is akin to murdering babies at Christmas. It's seasonally appropriate, somewhat crass. We're hardly declaring our secret love, more touting our desperation to market forces. The restaurant was one of those upmarket affairs one finds in market towns that are small enough to not really be a town, but not quite dinky enough to be a proper village. It is in such sized places that bored restaurateurs journey out with their Michelin stars to find local colour by buying a pub and attempting to fleece the tourists. The locals do not resent this element of the enterprise. Fleecing tourists is a popular regional pastime, but they do resent TV chefs, or assholes, as they're popularly known, casting them out of their local in order to sell Americans a thin slice of fish for 50 quid, plus postage and packaging. The locals may admire the chutzpah, but would appreciate doing so with a pint in their hand. I sat at a table opposite my first date of the evening, while the rules were explained for the sake of the audience at home. "When you hear the bell, the men all swap round," a tall Frenchman declared, or at least I think he was French. It was difficult to tell. "After the final round, there is a vote count, and the best matched couples eat dinner together." These first rounds gave me a chance to start getting drunk on their free, exotic cocktails, and additionally read the menu. Or would have done, if it were in English. "Is this French?" I asked potential partner number 4, a chatty personage who so far hadn't been casually racist, which was nice. "Nah," she said, "it's not French. It's written in High Gnargish." "Sorry, it's written in what?" I asked, with the sinking feeling that comes with being reduced in your own narrative to being a simple tool for exposition. "It's High Gnargish. That's the language of the giant alien space lizards." "The giant alien space lizards," I repeated, to help reinforce the plot point for the listener. "Yes, the giant alien space lizards own all the best local eateries. It's so they can feed you their giant alien space lizard babies." She continued talking for a while after that, but I zoned out, trying to decide whether being casually racist about giant alien space lizards counted as genuine racism. I decided to go with the benefit of my doubts and counted her down. No one wants to listen to conspiracy theories over dinner. It gives you indigestion. "Could be worse," she said, as I zoned back into her monologue. "Could be worse," I prompted, feeling that I was being manoeuvred into providing a feed line further into this exchange. "Yeah," she said, unsatisfied with the feed I'd delivered, presumably hoping for a fuller reply. "What's worse than being a giant alien space lizard?" I obliged, bowing to the inevitability of a joke that's so obvious you can see it from space. "What's worse than being a giant alien space lizard?" she repeated, feeling that this laboured joke needed even more of a run-up, what with all the meta-digressions I kept sending the text towards. "Yes," I said, "what could possibly be worse than being served dinner by giant alien space lizards?" "Well," she said, still milking the pauses even now, "I mean, they could be French." And before I could even consider whether casual jingoism counted as formal racism, the bell rang to change places. Being a woke male feminist, I wouldn't dream of ranking the women who sat opposite me for their physical attractiveness, or comment on whether I judged them by my socially conditioned desire to objectify them for my sexual gratification. I mean, I did, but I wouldn't say these things out loud, and certainly not online. I may be pre-programmed by the patriarchy, but I'm not stupid. I ended up being seated opposite partner number 4 in the end, so I can only assume that I scored badly with the other people, suggesting that I'm not as woke as I thought, and just come across as an asshole. "So," I asked the waiter, "what's good?"
"The gnag is fresh," he said, with a Gallic flourish.
"Would you recommend the gnag?" I asked.
"Only to human scum?"
"Sorry?"
"Of course, when it's fresh," the waiter corrected.
"I'll have the gnag."
"See," said my designated romantic partner. "Giant alien space lizards. You'll see."
I didn't say anything, if only because I suspected it would be a setup for another joke about the French. A bell rang, and a whole host of 7-foot waiters processed into the dining room, presenting cloches in front of all male diners. With a count of 1, 2, 3, the cloches were lifted to reveal a giant alien space lizard, about the size of an overinflated football, and about as appetizing.
"What is this?"
"Gnag," the waiter replied. "Don't fry, it's fresh."
"That's because it's still alive,"
I said as the baby alien space lizard yawned and opened its eyes.
"Well, you wouldn't want it to be dead, would you?"
said my companion, who had in the confusion removed her head to reveal that she too was a giant alien space lizard. In fact, all the female diners and waiters were in the process of unveiling their true nature.
"What is happening?" I asked,
almost in unison with the other human diners in the restaurant, though many had settled for the more uncouth option of just screaming. Tourists.
"We're feeding you," said partner number 4. "We of the Gnag Confederacy like to feed new civilizations our children."
"This is your child?"
"Yeah, see, it's got my eyes."
"I can't eat your child."
"It's a great honour. You insult us with your speciesist human ways. Eating of the firstborn is much prized. It's a delicacy. Just swallow it whole."
"But it's far too big."
"Try, or we will be horribly offended."
I was brought up to avoid any forms of conflict, especially awkward social interactions. So I did try, dear listener, to eat the baby giant alien space lizard. It was only after 5 minutes of gagging that the aliens burst into near hysterical laughter, nudging terrified diners in the ribs and slapping them on the back.
"Works every time," said the waiter. "Get some gullible human to try and eat a baby. They fall for it every single time."
"That'll teach you to be speciesist about giant alien space lizards, won't it?" said partner number 4.
I demurred that I hadn't been speciesist and that she was the one being offensive about giant alien space lizards.
"Yeah, but I am a giant alien space lizard. I'm allowed, and you didn't contradict me."
I didn't want to be awkward.
"Silence is complicity, mate.
And at that moment, I realised they were right. I'd sat through drinks, listening to my potential date spout unfair and dated remarks about giant alien space lizards. And I had said nothing. I was the real monster here. I was the real monster in the room. I had just finished saying this when the room erupted into applause. The human diners all shouted bravo at my bravery at speaking out about something after the event. My potential date, slow hand clapped briefly, then said,
"Lovely speech.
Good thing you said that before you died in horrible agony."
The room fell silent.
"You're going to kill us?" I asked.
"Yeah," the alien said. But you said you weren't like that.
Yeah, the alien said. Not all of us are, obviously. It just so happens that we are actually evil on an individual basis.
Oh, I said. So the whole feeding us baby aliens was a play on words and you're going to feed us to the baby?
Yeah, the alien said. Though to be fair, if you weren't so speciesist, you'd be fine. We impregnated your drinks with our eggs during the table round. They only hatch if they are dosed with adrenaline during the first hour or so. If you haven't found our faces scary, then you'll be fine. But if you really thought those footballs were going to eat you, then you deserve to die.
That's a bit harsh, I said. Not to say badly thought through and convoluted.
Yeah, I'm a giant alien space lizard.
We like that.
But, I started to say, I can say that, you can't.
My stomach started to rumble as others in the restaurant began to scream. The tiny space lizards eating them from the inside out. I took some comfort in the fact that my adrenal response must have been lesser, making me less speciesist than everyone else.
And just think, said my designated romantic partner as I fell to the floor in agony. It could be worse.
How?
I screamed.
We could have been French.
And that, dear listener, is how I died. Until my next death. Goodbye.
You've been listening to an The Other Day story written and performed by Robert Crichton. Other stories of my grisly demise are available while stocks last. To support this and other podcasts from the worlds of Robert Crichton, go to www.patreon.com/Robert Crichton. And for as little as only a dollar a month, exchange rates vary, you can get additional bonus features and audio stuff.
Dear Sir or Madam, thank you for your letter of the 14th instance and your apparent concern about my love life, but I feel it is misplaced. Whilst I am delighted that my story, The Massacre of St. Valentine's Eve, touched you, and that you hope I find a partner who appreciates me, I am worried that you don't seem in the least concerned that I get eaten by giant alien space lizards at the end of the tale. Being, as I am, rendered ever so slightly deceased by this event, my love life, and your concern for it, seems inappropriate. Additionally, I am also slightly concerned that you wrote so long a letter and that you managed to find my home address and my national insurance number, or that you appear to be squatting in the coal shed in my garden, wearing little more than a pair of rubber gloves and night vision goggles. Though I have to say, difficult look to pull off, and you're rocking it. Please don't kill me. Yours sincerely, Robert. P.S. Please don't hesitate to cease and desist writing to me in any way, shape or form in the future.